ocean, hand me my trusty pole. I'm going fishing down in my favorite fishing hole.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And Fish Talk Radio, let's just say it's, pardon the pun, fluid, because we never know what's going to happen on any individual show and who we can reach. Well, fortunately, we've been able to track down Mark Lassane, who is editor of Bass Angler Magazine. Is it bassanglermag.com? Is that right?
That's right.
Oh, wow. After, you know, 5-6 years, I finally figured it out.
You finally get it.
Okay. Now, where are you right now, Mark?
You know, I'm on Lake Berryessa, and, it's the most gorgeous day you could ever imagine. I mean, fishing's a little tough, but it's flat, calm, 65 degrees. I'm in a T-shirt. It's just beautiful. I mean, it didn't start out that way. This morning, it was 27 degrees and foggy in this. Froze my tail off.
Okay, give us a location if we're not familiar with that with the lake. Where are you?
It's in Northern California, kind of central California. I'm going to say, 60, 70 miles kind of northeast of San Francisco.
Oh, okay. And what are you doing on the lake?
I'm out here. I'm actually practicing for a tournament. I'm going to fish. There's a California Tournament Trail Pro-Am coming up in just a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm out here practicing for that. Yesterday I kind of figured some things out. Started throwing a jerk bait. And those who don't know what that is, it's a long, slender bait. Looks like a fish, and you throw it out.
Okay.
You basically reel it down and jerk it a couple times, and then let it sit and jerk it a couple times.
Oh, so you're imitating, a bait fish like a minnow or something.
Yeah, you know what? We're right now that there's a lot of little small trout. I'm going to say, 6 to 10 inches long,
mm-hmm.
and just snack size for the bass.
Oh, they
what
love
I'm doing
trout.
With the bait I'm throwing out, I'm trying to imitate an injured little trout. Because a lot of times they'll go up and they'll hit this trout. And they won't kill it, or they won't eat it, but it'll be, a little bit wounded, and it'll be swimming a little bit slow. So what I'm trying to do is mimic that, that kind of that wounded trout.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it worked out really good yesterday. I got a couple on it today. But I think it's a thing that starts happening a little bit later on when the water gets a little bit warmer.
Mark, what you just said just brought a question to me. When a bass, largemouth in particular, but bass have this huge mouth, and it's not that they come up and bite it. They open their mouth and suck that stuff in. And
yeah,
when they suck it in, they can tell right away if it's real, if it's not. How much time do you have to set the hook when you get a hit?
Oh, good question. It varies on the different baits you have. If you're sort of soft plastic bait, like a worm, you have probably 10 seconds.
Oh, really?
If you're throwing a jig or something that's hard, when they get it in their mouth and they know this isn't right, they'll try to spit it out right away. You usually only have a couple of seconds. So, like, usually when you feel the bite, you better be drilling them or else
slam
they're going to spit it out and get off.
That brings us to me to another question. Is it when you're bass fishing, obviously setting the hook is more critical instantly than it would be, let's just say, if you're using live bait for a marlin or dorado or trout or something, or bass.
Absolutely.
But when you set the hook, there's a couple of things that, people have to know or understand. First of all, this reminds me of a story. Anyway, but years and years ago, we're down in Baja, and this guy was a bass angler. We're out in the ocean. And I won't say who it was, but he'd throw out the line, and then there'd be this kind of big circle, and about every 10 or 15 seconds he goes wham, oh dang, missed it. Well, the truth was, he never had a tight line to begin with, because by the time the rod with the bend in the rod, the monofilament, the circle in the line, the stretch in the line, he thought he was trying to set the hook, but by the time he pulled back on it, the hook probably never moved.
exactly.
So my point is,
I've been down there saltwater fishing a few times.
Uh-huh.
you know, I mean, I'll see the fish, or I'll get a bite, and I'll grab the rod, and I'll reel it down, and I'll jerk back as hard as I can. Yeah. Everybody's always yelling at me, no. You know, because they don't want me to set the hook like it. They just want you to pull. You know, just pull.
Well,
on.
Let's talk about that for a second, but and then we're going to go back to the line and the rod for catching bass. Now, what you're talking about. First of all, if you're using a J hook or a circle hook, you never, ever set the hook. You just start winding and pulling, because the way that a circle hook works is that as you pull on it and it swallows it, it'll come up back through the gullet and then get caught in the corner of the mouth. And if you jerk it, you're going to pull the hook right out of the fish. So all you do is just start winding. Now, if you're using artificial or plastic or something, yeah, maybe you want to set the hook. But normally, if it's if you're using a live bait, a mackerel or a caballito, you want it to swallow the bait, and you have to give it time. And yes, you set the hook, but you don't set the hook until you just start winding slowly and feel the pressure. Then you can set the hook. If you do it too early, you lost it. Now, bass fishing is what we were talking about earlier, is that to set the hook, if you've got mono that has stretch and you've got a flexible rod, you give it a yank, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're setting the hook. Can you comment on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, you watch on TV how these guys set the hook. You know, that's how most people get to witness that. And the guy will reel way down, and then jerk really hard. And, it looks like he's, taking a baseball bat, trying to swing for a home run. But like you said, you have a bunch of flex in the line. You have stretch in the line. You have flex in the rod. And, you're not hardly getting the hook into him. If you're holding something and somebody did that to you, you would think they were hardly pulling on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot of pressure, really, to get to get this hook into the fish.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, it's got to be, it's like trying to set the hook with a rubber band. It doesn't work too well.
that's about what it's like. Mm-hmm. Well, a little bit tighter than that, but yeah. That's what it's like.
Now, with a rubber band. Talking about that, let's comment on line itself. What type of line do you use when you're bass fishing?
I use a myriad of lines. If I'm throwing something underwater, say like a jig or a worm or a spinnerbait or a crankbait, I'm generally throwing fluorocarbon, because fluorocarbon has the same density as water. So it dissipates, and it's harder for this fish to see.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've had the Berkeley guy on a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
I know Berkeley's done a study where the fish would actually... They have all these fish in this tank with these different lines, and the fish would run into the fluorocarbon when the rest of the lines they could.
Oh, they swim right into it because they didn't see it. Wow.
Yeah. So they can't see it. It's like you're walking into a spider web. You can't see it.
Yeah.
You're gonna walk into it.
Okay.
So, and then I'm using fluorocarbon for that. If I want the lure on top of the water, I'm going to use monofilament because fluorocarbon is the same density as water and it sinks.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to throw in a top water bait with the line sinking. So anytime you want your bait to come up or your line to stay on top, then you're going to throw like a monofilament or a braided line.
Well, you talk about braided line, the microfiber of the braided line has virtually no stretch.
You're right.
So,
braided line is much more forgiving on a spinning rod. You put mono or fluorocarbon on there. Fluorocarbon's a little bit worse because it's generally stiffer. But still, you want it to disappear in the water, so you want to throw it. But if you spool the whole thing up with fluorocarbon, it gets wound up pretty fast.
Yeah.
So generally, what I'm doing with my spinning rods is I put a little bit of mono backing, and then I put braid on. And then I'll tie a fluorocarbon leader because the braid is really easy to see.
Yeah.
Like the fish running into it thing.
Oh, yeah. So put like a 3 or 10 foot leader with fluorocarbon?
Yeah, I usually put about a 15 foot leader on there.
Okay.
And the reason I do that is because when I'm fighting a fish and I get the fish close to the boat, I want one piece of line into the reel, a couple wraps around the reel, down to the fish.
Mark, unfortunately, Mark, on Fish Talk Radio, we have hard breaks, and they're going to cut us off in about 5 or 10 seconds. So just say Bass Angler Mag.com. Is that right?
Go online, sign up, get it. It's a great book.
Awesome. Great information. Thank you, Mark.
All right. You guys have a great day.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and Sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Vagabundos del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
You get in line, I'll get a pole, baby. You get in line, I'll get a pole, baby. You get in line, I'll get a pole, and we'll go down and draw that hole, honey, baby mine.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the lovely Lorraine that is here learning about fishing. Right now, we have on the line with us the man, the Bart Hall, and we'll introduce him and let him tell us a little bit about his history and his dad. And also, we're going to be bringing on Steve Lynch, who's co-owner of Procure, which we've had on the show before. And Steve's represented at virtually all of the outdoor shows, not necessarily himself, but his distributors. So what we want to do is let's start with Bart, if you don't mind, Bart, and give us a little bit of history of the Hall Show.
Well, certainly, John, I'd be happy to. I was just thinking recently that my father probably never realized that in 1946, when he started his first sportsman show in Los Angeles at the old Gilmore Stadium, that 70 years later it would turn into the world's largest sport fishing show, California's largest boat show, and a world-class international travel and hunting event. It's been a great ride over the last 70 years, and we take great pride in the fact that we like to think that we encourage people to get outdoors and experience outdoor recreation, and we think we do a very good job of that.
Well, you and again, Tell us a little bit about more about the Hall Show, what it is, what it represents, how many people, how many vendors, and how long it lasts and where it is.
Well, John, like I said, it's 70 years old in Long Beach, and we're 40 years old in Del Mar. We've been doing this for a very long time. We have thousands of booths, acres of boats. We'll do over 600 seminars in the 9 days between the two shows.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Let me go back a little bit. You said the word thousands of booths.
Yes. Yes, we do. Between the two shows, there are thousands of booths.
Oh. Wow. Well, and, you know, obviously it's, if not the biggest in the world, it ranks up there, especially in the United States as far as attendance.
Well, it does, yeah, as far as I know. We, you know, it's hard to know, but I go to all the shows, and I never see anything like ours during the week. And on the weekend, we use up all the available parking in the city of Long Beach.
Yeah, I know. I've been there.
Yeah.
Get there early. That's all I can tell you. The other thing is that we're going to talk about a bit later is that this is not something you just go in, walk around for a couple hours, and leave. The only way to be able to get the benefit of what you need to do, it takes at least 2 days.
Well, if you want to, like I said, we do 600 seminars between the two shows, 400 in Long Beach and 200 in Del Mar. If you wanted to see most of the seminars, it'll take you a week.
Yeah.
So it's a very big thing. But my father had a business model that he started 70 years ago, and it's something that I've tried to continue. We believe that a family should be able to come into a Fred Hall show and have family fun activities to entertain them all day. So if you're a hardcore angler, you are immersed in what you're doing. If you're a hardcore hunter, you're in there being immersed. But we want your children and wives and friends that maybe aren't as hardcore to have a great time, too. And that's why we have the, you know, the Ram Trucks Ultimate Air Dogs. We have the Great American Duck Races. We have the Mammoth Lakes Kids Fish Free Trout Pond. We have archery. We have air gun range. We have soft air stuff. We have the Department of Fish and Wildlife Kids Casting Contests all day long. We have rock climbing and bungee jumping. And it's really a fun event for the entire family, and that's the way it was designed, and that's the way I intend to keep it.
Wow. Well, let's hear a little bit. We also have one of your supporters, certainly, and that is Steve Lynch of Procure. And he may not have a booth there, but he's well represented at virtually all of the outdoor shows. And so I'd like to have him talk a little bit about your show. But the other thing, Bart, is that in the last few years, things are kind of returning to back the way they were. You know, a lot of the resorts are starting to get their booking back, and there are deals at the shows that you will not find anywhere else. You're not going to find them online. You're not going to, you know, call up and get them because they always have show specials. But so the importance of going to the Hall Show or all the shows or San Diego or all of them, actually, wherever you are, you get a lot of information and you get a lot of good deals. And if you don't mind, can we talk to Steve a little bit about the Hall Show and what you're doing with the show, Steve?
Sure. We at Procure, we've gone to the show in Long Beach for about 12 years. But we used to have our own booth, and we sold our product out of our booth. But it turned out that we were upsetting a lot of our dealers. So we stopped selling out of our own booth. But yet we support our dealers in the show. And the Fred Hall shows, I tell you, is one of the largest shows, consumer shows, that we participate in across the country. Hands down, Bart does an awesome job, of covering all of his bases. There's a lot to do to keep the kids activated, you know, and occupied. Yeah. You know, like I said, I don't care whether they're just beginning, if they're intermediate or experienced, they've got stuff for everyone there.
Yeah. Just a quick thing about Bart. I remember years ago I was talking to him about, you know, getting a T-shirt for him, and I says, what size? He says, don't worry about it. You don't have one big enough. And he was right. Anyway, Bart has this high-power, super hooped-up golf cart that he runs around constantly during the show, taking care of everybody. But does an incredible job. And, again, it's huge. And there was a time, Bart, when it was your dad's, and then you guys sold out an interest, and then you bought it back. But basically, it's your show.
Well, I own it in partnership with Duncan McIntosh at the current time, and this is the first full year of that arrangement, and it's working out real well.
Mm-hmm.
We're very excited about the possibilities of the two companies working together and synergizing.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
this is very exciting for us, and we're really looking forward to the show. We've never sold out so early in our history. I've been doing this my whole life, and I've never seen early activity for both shows.
Wow! So you're talking about booth
space. For about a couple weeks, and Del Mar is already sold out. So.
Wow! So you're talking about booth space. If you want to get into the show and you hadn't booked a month ago, you're SOL.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And now, just to get real quickly, it's an outdoor show, primarily fishing and boating. But kind of give us an idea of the separate divisions and, you know, whatever your proclivity is. You know, what do you offer? I mean,
well,
you got travel.
The subtitle of the show is, you know, calling something the Fred Hall Show is great for those who know what it is. It's a terrible name for people who don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So our tagline is the Fred Hall Show, the ultimate outdoor experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we take that quite literally. In Long Beach, we, of course, fishing is what we do best, but we also have a really nice hunting section. We even have some firearm manufacturers showing some stuff. We have a great international travel section, hundreds of destination resorts represented. We have acres of boats. We have dive in Long Beach.
Oh, even on the docks, you guys have. Does the Independence show up?
On the docks, and you can go down and visit the Independence, which is one of the premier long-range boats down there.
It's a resort hotel fishing boat.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, whatever it is, whether it's hunting, fishing, boating, travel, and you've got a huge travel section. And again, I mentioned earlier is that if you're interested in doing some travel this year, you will find deals at the Hall Show that you will not find anywhere else, because they always kind of hold back this kind of special, you know, things where they have.
But you know, John, it's not just the deals, because I travel a lot, and you go online, everything looks good online.
Oh.
Everything. But when you get to meet the guy in person who you're going to have to spend the week with, that makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I know a lot of people go to the show just to meet the people that, you know, because they become friends over the years, and so they talk to them about the upcoming season. And I would like to get back with Steve just for a minute about ProCure. And, you know, we've only got a short time, but just, Steve, what is ProCure?
Well, sure. Well, before I do that, I just have a compliment for Bart. And he probably doesn't remember this, but about 10 years ago, we were setting our booth up, and our neighbors to the next of us were not good neighbors. They had a booth that was not in compliance, and we tried to work it out with them. That didn't happen. I went to Bart, explained the situation, and within 20 minutes, Bart was over there, solved the issue, you know, straightened the person out. And so, I mean, he truly cares, not just for the consumer coming in, but for the vendors working his show.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, although we were already paid and it didn't matter, he went out of his way to make sure that we were well represented, and that, you know, the booths were set up the way they're supposed to be.
Okay.
So I'd like to thank him again.
Right. Well, anyway, Steve, I just want to make a quick comment. We had you on recently, and we're going to get you on again soon. But one thing that just blew me away, you're in Portland, Oregon, and I believe you said that you actually, every day, you grind and process, did you say 10,000 pounds a day? What was that number?
Correct. And it may not be exactly 10. Some days it might be 12. Some days it might be 7.
That's 10,000 pounds per day. Are these guys big or what? And obviously, they're big because what they produce works. And they, you know, they're worldwide. But anyway, guys, Bart, I'm sure I'll see you. The dates in Long Beach are?
March 2nd to the 6th at Long Beach.
And try and be there as long as you can. So we appreciate both you guys, Bart. We'll be in touch with you soon. Actually, Bart, we're going to bring you on for the next couple of weeks to promote these shows and let people understand what it's all about. And then, Steve, we appreciate you coming on. And ProCure, when you stop by the show, there may or may not be some specials, but I'm sure if you mention Steve's name, you get a deal. Right, Steve?
Yes, sir. Now, okay. Bart, are the hours still 2 to 10? Or what are the hours of your show?
The hours of the show are during the week, Wednesday through Friday, it's 1 to 8. Okay. Saturday, it's 10 to 8. I'm sorry, 1 to 9. 1 to 9. Saturday, it's 10 to 8:30.
The road stretches for miles in front of you. And with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway. So your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24-7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
Bass Angler Magazine simply brings you more. If you want to learn the latest technique, start winning tournaments, or just catch more bass, then Bass Angler Magazine is for you. Go to www.bassmag.com, click on the order link, and use the promo code FBR. Go to www.bassmag.com, Bass Angler Magazine, bassmag.com. It will be the best $20 you've ever spent.
You get in line and I'll get a pole, honey. You get in line and I'll get a pole, babe. You get in line and I'll get a pole. We'll go down to the crawdad hole, honey, baby mine.
The man. Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have we have such a good time, great show. We're going to Grizz is I think in Cabo San Lucas right now, wheeling and dealing, but we're going to see if we can try and get in touch with him. Actually, the problem is we got to go through a series of things how to do this, but we're going to get Grizz on the line shortly and talk about some of the things that he has to begin to be doing. But in the meantime...
Yeah, John, go ahead and work with Lorraine and get Grizz on the line there, whatever you need to do on your phone, and we'll get him patched in here.
I'm
can
on
you do that?
Yeah. And also, okay, just dial the station. And also, I would like to mention real quick that we do have a trip. We're going to be talking to Russell Thomas from Clover Pass Resorts. And we're going to be talking to you have to 805 first. We're going to be talking to Grizz in a couple of minutes, but I want to mention a trip that we have coming up to Alaska over the 4th of July weekend. And it's a very limited opportunity. We've only got a certain amount of rooms, and it's very limited. But listen to this deal. All-inclusive. All you have to do is show up in Ketchikan. By the way, the airlines' prices have dropped considerably, partially because competition and partially because of oil prices. But we have a price of $17.95. We got it? For all-inclusive 5 nights, which includes fishing, fish processing, meals. Just set the phone down out there. And I'm sorry, we're trying to get Grizz on the line. It's a little distracting. But, you know, get in touch with us about the trip to Clover Pass, 4th of July, $1,800, 5 nights. And when I say all-inclusive, I mean they pick you up at the airport, feed you all your meals, four more if you get there early, fishing days, processing, boxing, and when you leave, you just go to the airport and they put your boxes of fish on the plane and you go home. Incredible deal. So keep that in mind, but it's very limited. Right now, I think we did find Grizz. You there?
Yeah, John, I'm here. I'm down here in beautiful La Paz right now. You caught me walking around in the middle of town.
Oh, you're in La Paz. I thought you were in Cabo.
No. Today I'm here in La Paz.
Okay, cool. A couple of things. First of all, in about 60 seconds, you know, Grizz, I have to talk to you 4 or 5 times a week to just try and figure out, well, now what are you doing?
Well, John, I don't let grass grow under my feet.
Well, that's one way to put it. You create a big wake. But one of your new enterprises is on television, and apparently you've got your own network or channel now on Roku.
Yeah, John, I'm very, very excited. Charles and I are very, very happy. Yes, we do. We have our own channel called the Grizz Channel on Roku. So, I mean, you can buy a Roku device almost anywhere in the United States, like for $29.95, something like that. And you can go to the sports section and look for the Grizz Channel. And by golly, you can watch our shows in English and in Spanish right there on Roku.
And how many different shows do you have on that channel?
We have 13 different shows right now.
And it's growing quickly.
Completely different series right now on the television.
Yeah, so it's mostly fishing, of course, I would assume, hunting, cooking, archery, most anything outdoors. But if you're into fishing, you know, you've got, you've done a lot of stuff. You know, mostly blue water, big game fishing, but, you know, there's just so much stuff that you've got on there.
Well, John, we not only have saltwater fishing, we go inland and we catch some big bass. We got fly fishing on there. We've got bow hunting. We've got rifle hunting. And like you said, we got some great cooking shows, Chef on the Water. We just got everything for the public.
Well, this time of the year in La Paz, and go to Roku, and it's called the Grizz Channel. Is that right?
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Okay.
Well, and what you're starting to say here in La Paz right now, John, yeah, is the time to come. The fishing kind of really isn't the best thing in the world. But what we got, John, what nobody else place, no other place in the world has, we have got sharks, whale sharks, that you can actually swim with. These are animals that live up to be 70 years old. The biggest one ever was 47 and a half feet long and weighed 27 tons.
27 tons.
That's what this animal is. They're the largest fish in the world. They have 27 bones.
27 times 2,000.
Shark family. Everything is cartilage. You won't find a single bone in them.
Uh-huh.
And here they call them the toadfish because they have the color of a toad.
Yeah. They're very interesting. Like a lot of critters in the sea, I wouldn't necessarily call a whale shark pretty, but it's very interesting.
No, it's got little beanie eyes and a big mouth.
Yeah, big mouth. Yeah, the mouth is, what, 6-8 feet wide?
My girlfriends? No, they were bigger than that, John.
But they, you know, and they're so docile. And I don't know if there's any place in the world that is better to have the opportunity to view whale sharks. Now, again, when you can swim with them, you're not allowed to touch them because you don't want to contaminate their, you know, their body surface.
Right, John, you don't want to touch them. You can swim with the water right now, 72 degrees, so
oh, it's cold.
Freezing to death when you're down in them. But, John, that's only part of it. You imagine this. You get in the water and you go with them, you dry off, the next day you go to Lopez Marteos and you go pet. Now, I don't mean just see. I mean actually pet gray whales because they're calving this time of year, and you can literally get in a panga boat, and they will come to you, and you can literally touch them because they want you to touch them. It's incredible, like dogs.
Wow. And that is, you say Lopez Mateos, but you're talking about Magdalena.
Yeah, it's about 3 hours from La Paz. So yeah, imagine what you can do.
Well, you're talking
and
about
Magdalena. You still haven't had enough of whales. This is a time of year also in Loreto for the largest mammal on this planet. You've got the blue whales that are showing up
now
in Loreto. So, I mean, you guys have an experience.
Grizz,
incredible.
I don't recall seeing blue whales down there. We have some up off of our coastline in Santa Barbara. But I want to ask Lorraine a question that's helping out today. Is what is the largest critter, mammal or otherwise, to ever have inhabited the Earth in millions and billions of years? What is the largest, I mean, would you say Jurassic Park, kind of that kind of thing?
The woolly mammoth?
Well, you're close, but multiply that times what, 50 or 100?
Really?
Yes.
What is it?
Well, there's an animal that we just mentioned that, Grizz, you have to correct me because I'm just, you know, off the cuff. They can be about 100 feet long, weigh 100,000 pounds.
The shark whale?
No.
Nope. Blue whales.
The blue whales. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I mean, they're beautiful. They're docile. You know, they're not jumping out of the water because, you know, their tongue
they're
is bigger.
Too big.
Their tongue is bigger than a car.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I could just see that driving by.
Their heart's the size of a...
They are kind of skittish. Yeah. You can't get up real close to them like the gray whale.
Yeah, well, it's like their heart's the size of a garbage truck.
I'm doing a radio show.
Yeah. But, sorry about that.
People were yelling at me.
Right, there you go. It's people yelling at you. Well, usually you're the one doing the yelling. But anyway, I didn't know that. So what you're talking about with Lopez Mateos is actually Magdalena Bay. And that is the breeding ground for its gray whales. And is it just only gray whales or multiple species?
No. They're in Mag Bay. They're only gray whales there.
Uh-huh. But so the process is you find them in Alaska, and then they have a migration every year where they go back and forth. Apparently,
do you know the gray whale? Now this is something I find very interesting.
Uh-huh.
Travels 10,000 miles a year.
Wow.
Because they go up from the Antarctic and they come all the way down and then they go back.
Well,
10,000 miles a year.
We're running out of time. We're running out of time, but this is really interesting. Correct me if I'm wrong.
We could do a whole show on whales.
Oh, absolutely.
I did yesterday.
Oh, that's right. He's got a radio show locally down there. But anyway, correct me if I'm wrong, but the process is let's start in Magdalena Bay. And that's when they get together on Valentine's Day and, you know, make babies. And then...
Well, 1 year they have their young, they calve, because you do know a whale, the male is called a bull, and the female is called a cow, and the babies are called calves. So they actually give birth to a calf 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fatten them up. And then they swim back north. Uh-huh. Then the next year they come back down to breed.
Uh-huh.
So 1 year have a young'un, next year have a lover.
So that's the process, and
that's 10,000 miles involved in it.
So the nursery, I guess, so to speak, would be Magdalena Bay.
Exactly right, John.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, Lorraine, you want to go down and visit and pet some gray whales?
Sure, anytime.
Well, Grizz can help us with that, as a matter of fact. And actually, you have a hotel right down there, too, don't you, Grizz? We're going to have to go
and
check.
Yeah, I sure do. I've got a hotel right on the beach where the whales are.
Okay, well, we're going to go. Grizz, it's, as always, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy time. Go to Roku, the Grizz channel. Go to ASOB.com, ASOB Productions. Online.com, is that right?
Yeah, go to ASOBproduction.com and you can find us and you can watch our television show every day.
Okay,
cool.
Grizz, you're awesome. We appreciate
Thank you.
That very much. So exciting.
Gone fishing.